Coming up, I'll give you four reasons why quitting your job might be a big mistake. And then bosses are fighting the return to office war, and they're tracking employees' every move. I'm going to beat that up. Let's go. Helping you win at work and in life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. I'm your coach, counselor, and cheerleader. I have one goal and one goal only in this show. And that is to help you make more income and make more impact. Enjoying work, because you're doing what you're good at, doing what you love, and producing results that matter deeply to you. This is not a pipe dream. It is the dream job I just described, but it is possible. So let's get to it. Okay, four reasons why quitting your job might be a really big mistake. Now, we're actually seeing in the news now terminology describing this. So the Great Resignation was a term that described millions of people, 4+ million people a month for over a year now have resigned and quit their jobs. It's a giant game of musical chairs. Well, now we're seeing in the data that a lot of people who quit are experiencing regret, and it's been called the Great Regret by many people. And so I want to warn you folks, I am of the people, by the people, for the people. Do not forget this. And I am here to be your lighthouse in the storm. So here are four reasons, and you need to prepare yourself. I'm going to step on some toes today, okay, just by pulling out some real facts and giving you reasons that you need to consider. Wait a second. If I'm quitting for this reason, this could be a big mistake. Here we go. Number one, you need more experience. If you quit and you're not getting the experience you need, so you're all excited about the next, and you haven't achieved or learned or met with, connected with the right people in the now, you can sacrifice the next. Let me say that again. If we obsess about the next and we miss what we need to do in the now, we miss who we need to become in the now, we could sacrifice the next. And I understand it. I came up with that phrase many, many years ago as I was early on in my journey that I now teach from every day. I was making the move from a career in politics into broadcasting with no experience, no education, nothing. And I was impatient. I was a normal human being. I wanted it to happen now. And I remember one day going, Coleman, I was talking to myself out on the patio. Thank God there was nobody out there. It probably was quite a scene. But I just said to myself, man, you got to focus on the now. You're too busy worrying about the next. And there is no next if we don't take care of the now. I think we all understand this, but we forget it on a daily basis. So here's four reasons why quitting could be a mistake. Reason number one, you need more experience. You got to bake a little bit, baby. You ever pulled a cake out a little too early? Yuck. It's disgusting. Yeah, it's gooey. It doesn't taste right. It's disappointing. I mean, you want to be that person? You haven't baked enough. Get some more cooking, some more preparation. In other words, you need more experience. Number two, you could come across as a flake. I'm looking at your resume here, your timeline, body of work. You've been on the last three jobs a total of a year and a half. You're one job for 4 months, then you were at another job for 6 months. Look, I've had that call come in on the show before. And the only time it doesn't make you look flaky is when you've got some very clearly perceived promotions. So, you know, if you're moving up the ladder quickly, that doesn't make you look like a flake. But if it's not moving up the ladder and you're just kind of moving around laterally and popping around, you're going to look like that. You're going to look like a popcorn, you know, a corn seed popping around in the pan. Thank you, Joe. Joe in my ear, always helpful. A kernel. Thank you, Joe. The point is, you'll look flaky. They're going to start to see a pattern here. And what do? They immediately go, well, who's to say you're not going to be with us for 5 months before you leave? Number three reason that you could quit and it'd be a major mistake. You're actually on the right ladder. You're on the right ladder. You're climbing you're on the right rung, on the right ladder. You're where you're supposed to be. Back to point one, getting that very valuable experience. Acquiring skill, making connections, making mistakes. In other words, doing what it is you need to do. And you jump off the ladder. Climbing this ladder over here, we got momentum, everything's going well, and we get distracted by a shiny object in the form of a job offer that pays you more money, gives you a sexier title, and you go, ooh, I feel good. I feel good about that. I mean, who doesn't feel good? I mean, this is what happened in the Great Resignation with people that now say they regret leaving. They're just like every one of us. I mean, it's the equivalent of being back in high school, elementary school. I don't know if kids do this today. But back in my day, if a girl batted her eye at you, it was like, oh, she noticed me. And then I'm writing a little note. Do you like me? Yes, no, or maybe, right? We love to be noticed. We love to feel affirmed. This is our humanness. And so when someone comes along and you got an opportunity to get a promotion and then you get a bigger paycheck, those are two things that become dangerous distractions. Because your brain says it's smart to take the promotion. Why? Because of the shine of, number one, I got more money in my bank account. So that looks good. Looks good. And then I got a promotion and a title, and that feels good. So it looks good, feels good, and all of a sudden we go, well, it's got to be good. And then the progression goes from, this is smart, to I'd be a fool if I didn't take it. And so what do? We step off the right ladder and we go to another ladder. It's not where we want to go long term. It's not preparing us for the future that we desire. It just felt good in the moment. And thus we show up one day and we go, the high of the paycheck is worn off. And I realize that now I'm off of my path of purpose. Now, this is what happens. And by the way, folks, this great regret that they're talking about in the media that I'm addressing right now, we're talking about tens of millions of people that left and now they regret that they left. Fourth reason why quitting could be a mistake. You're the problem. Oh boy, I saved this one to last, Alex, because I knew it might step on some toes, but can we just be honest? People that quit all the time, they've always got good excuses, good reasons. And yet the one common denominator in all these stories is them or you. So you're ready to quit because things aren't going well. You're ready to quit because things aren't happening fast enough. And when you quit, you realize you're the problem. Doesn't mean you're a problem person or worker, but maybe you need more patience. Maybe. Maybe you're the reason that you want to quit, but you're blaming it on everybody else and other circumstances. And you walk away, and what you could have learned, who you could have become, who you could have connected with, what you could have accomplished, all of that gets lost because you couldn't wait, or you couldn't deal with criticism, or you couldn't deal with a difficult coworker. Put your big boy pants on, your big girl pants on, and hang in there. Coming up, bosses are winning the battle to get workers back to the office. We got some data. Hey, if you're a business owner and you don't know your numbers, I hate to say it, but you don't know your business. And when markets are shifting, it's even more important. You've got to do everything you can to set yourself up for success. You don't have to be in the dark. Over 31,000 businesses, including our team here at Ramsey, know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and inventory, so you can actually manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve your margins. Having everything in one place has saved our team hours each week since we made the switch to NetSuite. No more jumping between three or four different systems. We have quick access to what's going on in our business at all times. NetSuite is a game changer. So head to netsuite.com/Ken to get a product tour today. That's netsuite.com/Ken. coaching you up to make more money and experience more meaning in your work. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I love the YouTube chat room. I want to say hey to everybody that's watching live on YouTube. There's a chat room next to the video window. And Heidi Hutchison really liked my line about need to bake a little, baby. And then the very first comment today in the chat room before it started, Noah Howe said, it's the drippy Mr. Rogers. That's a new one. I am apparently the drippy Mr. Rogers. I don't know what to make of that. The drippy's good. The Mr. Rogers thing, I don't know what to do with that. But he was clearly watching the Ramsey Show yesterday. James Childs, our erstwhile producer, made a comment live on the show yesterday. Rachel Cruz and I were hosting the Ramsey Show. And James was like, I think it'd be fun if you came into the studio at the start of the show and put on a cardigan and changed shoes like Mr. Rogers. So we talked about that for a couple minutes. And then Rachel said, what shoes are you wearing today, Ken? And I kicked my heels up over the desk and showed him the high-top Air Force Ones. And at which point I said, that's pretty drippy, because that's what my kids say. I don't even know. There's a young guy out in the lobby. That drippy, that works? Yeah, that's right. So my shoes were very drippy. So thus the title, The Drippy Mr. Rogers. So there you go. All right, back to the real stuff here. For those of you that are thinking about getting into sales or you're in sales and you're not where you want to be professionally, we've got a great course for you. We are creating more courses here at Ramsey Solutions through our Ramsey Career Academy because I have a desire to help people upskill without paying a fortune. How about quick and cheap and effective? All right, that's what Ramsey Academy is doing. Ramsey Career Academy, the new course, is Sales 101. I spent a lot of time on that name. A lot of creative energy to come up with Sales 101, but that's what we're calling it. You can apply now. Go to RamseySolutions.com/sales course. RamseySolutions.com/sales course. Okay, folks. Warning if you're new to the show. I get fired up sometimes, and I'm about ready to get fired up. There's your warning. Headline from Forbes magazine. Bosses are winning the battle to get workers back to the office. I'm already irritated. I'm going to talk about this in a second, but the fact that we're calling it a battle, the word war is used in this, really pisses me off. And I'm going to stay calm, but I'm going to cover this. This is part of the problem. Okay? This is part of the problem with the leadership in our world today. Leaders are allowing themselves through stupid actions, through a lack of awareness, and sometimes through intentional power plays to position themselves as a us against you to the American worker and around the world. More on that in a second. But first to the data. In the first week following Labor Day, office usage in 10 major metro areas neared 50% of 2020's pre-pandemic attendance. This is from Castle System, a key card property management company. They track entries into the office buildings. Now, Castle's data does not include many of the city's biggest real estate owners, including large law firms, banks, financial services, Wall Street firms. This is all New York City. Okay, so they're using New York as kind of the test case here. Okay, the Partnership for New York City, a business industry trade group, surveyed more than 160 major Manhattan office employers between August 29 and September 12, and what they found is 49% of Manhattan office workers are currently at the workplace on an average weekday. Now, that's up 38% since April. Incidentally, this is good news for those of us who still like to go to New York to see Broadway plays or be a tourist. Because I was up there about a year and a half ago doing some media for Fox News. At all my little restaurants and places I like to haunt, they were closed. I was very irritated. First world problems. So more workers coming back into the office means that more places are going to be open. That's good. It's called capitalism. The number of fully remote workers fell from 28% in April to 16%. So what does that mean? A lot of people are heading back into the office in New York. Apparently, they want to see people, and they're tired of wearing their sweatpants. I don't know. Also, 200,000 passengers rode the Long Island Railroad into Manhattan post-Labor Day weekend. That's the highest level of riders since March 2020. Great news. Now, if the mayor and the leadership of New York could protect people, that'd be nice. That's a separate article. The Partnership for New York City predicts that there will ultimately be a tipping point when a majority return to the office. This is great. I think this is great news. It's good for humans. According to the partnership's analysis, 54% of workers will ultimately return to an office setting by January 2023. Wow. A study conducted by the Society for Human Resource Management found that supervisors had negative perceptions of the work from home trend and they prefer their staff to operate from an office setting. So I gave you the data about what's happening. Now, folks, those of you who really want to work from home, you need to pay attention. And I am not judging you. I am not trying to push you. I am trying to inform you. And I said on this show that I was not certain, but that I felt confident that this trend would happen. I said it. And now it's happening. Now that means that real perceptions exist. Let's keep going. 62% of leaders contend that full-time remote work is detrimental to employee career objectives. You say, well, kid, I don't care what they think. Well, great. You can not care all you want to, but this is what they think. And I'm telling you, out of sight, out of mind. Right? You're trying to compete. And I remind you every day on the show that you are in a competition. You are competing against the you of yesterday, and you're competing against other people. And let me just tell you right now, as a guy who loves to coach sports, and I consider myself a coach, if you're at practice, I'm going to play you. If you ain't at practice, I'm sitting your butt on the bench. That's not fair. Everybody should get a chance. That's not how the world works, because life, dear buttercup, it's not fair. It's not fair. The dominant style of work now. Oh, by the way, one other piece of data. 72% of those leaders said they prefer all their workers to be working in the office. No surprise here. The dominant style of work now is hybrid work. And if you're not familiar with that term, hybrid work means 2 or 3 days in the office, and then you can work wherever you want to work outside. And I think that's going to be, the predominant style of work going forward. So many surveys over the last year or so show that employees adamantly responded they would rather quit than commute to the office. Well, great, quit. But now this job economy is beginning to show a little bit of wobbliness. It's still very hot, but we're getting to see more layoffs and things. And depending on interest rates, and if this baby, and I think it's an eensy-weensy-teensy recession, if it continues to grow, it could affect layoffs. So I don't know if you'll be able to. And there are great benefits to returning to the office. Here's what I want you to hear. One word. If you're in the office, you are going to benefit from connection. Relationship with your coworkers, to have that human connectedness that we all crave and need. You're going to be able to connect with your leader face-to-face, be able to develop a relationship there, get real-life coaching and mentoring if they're a healthy leader. And third, you're going to be around the office and you're going to be more aware of opportunities to see things, another rung on the ladder to climb. This is pretty common sense stuff. Now, bosses, this is Fortune magazine again, bosses giving up return to office fight have found another way to win, tracking their remote workers' every move. They are tracking things like software, how much time they're on the computer, how many keyboard pauses and strokes. Folks, I've told you before, this is bad bossery. This is nannyship. It's like me and Stacey monitoring our kids when they were toddlers. They're supposed to be sleeping, and I'm watching them on video. What are we doing here? Direct quote from a guy quoted in this article, Paul Wartenberg. If we're going to give up on bringing people back to the office, we're not going to give up on managing productivity, you dolt. You're an idiot. You're trying to measure keystrokes? This nannyship is about activity, not results. See, a real leader says, here's what I expect from you. Here are the results that I want you to produce. Go produce them. I don't care how you do them. Get them done. I don't care when you do them. Get them done. And this is going to continue to create a divide among leaders and workers. This is the Ken Coleman Show.
That's what I'm talking about, Joe. That's a good bump. There's some bump earlier. I thought I was in an American Eagle folding sweaters or something. I don't know what was going on. All right, good to have you back here on the Ken Coleman Show. Have you ever had a moment when you discover something new and it changed your entire perspective? Well, a new job could do that for you to see that, wait a second, I don't have to endure or to just kind of try to make it through to happy hour in my work. I could be full of joy at work. ZipRecruiter can help you find that job. They become your personal recruiter. It's a free resource to you. It does not cost you a dime. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken is where you go. Fill out a profile. Let them begin to go to work for you, bringing you jobs, putting you directly in touch with companies who want to interview you because you are listed on Zip. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Let's go back to the phones. Dallas, Texas. Cody is there. Cody, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Howdy, Mr. Coleman. This is Cody.
Cody, how are you? No more Mr. Man. Just Ken will do.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate that, young man. Right. You're very polite. How can I help?
Well, I've worked my way up within a truck repair company here.
Okay.
And I'd always liked the owners, but we got a new manager, and he's really pushed doing a lot of fraudulent work. And I've been able to not be
Wait. I'm sorry. I want to make sure I understand this. Did you say he's pushing you to do fraudulent work?
Yes.
What does that mean specifically?
Like when, you know, like you could have a problem with your engine, but you only have to replace a part of it, or you could replace the whole engine and that will fix it, but that's not what was wrong with it.
Oh, so basically doing unnecessary work and thus charging more.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah. I'd like to get a hold of that guy.
Yeah. Well, at this point, we're just kind of surprised that, like, the cops haven't showed up because the whole company knows what's going on. And well, I took it up.
You took it up to the owners?
Yes. And they said that they didn't really, you know, think that that's what was happening. But I couldn't tell if they just are privy to it and he's just kind of, you know, the guy who gets his hands dirty for him. I don't know. But at this point, I'm like, he's created a very toxic workplace where nobody wants to be here. And
the one guy has, because is everybody worried about being culpable? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, a lot of people are worried about being culpable. A lot of people have admitted to things, and then they've kind of, it's kind of like he fixed them or something because they just have changed their minds. But it pays really well. I'm nowhere near what, like if you look up what service techs make, I'm nowhere near it. It pays really well, but it's just like every day I come into work, it just like I try to make sure nothing wrong happens, and I try to do the right thing, and I kind of get in the middle. But I've obviously irritated that manager, and because I told the owners that like everything he says is a lie, and so I kind of feel like my head's a little bit on the chopping block, and he turned up the heat. But the owners want to keep me, but the my manager wants me gone.
Of course, of course.
But we have a sister company that we've partnered with.
Yeah,
and I believe that they're really good guys, and that it would be like a good company to move to. But it's in Tennessee, and so it's just I don't have any connections there per se. And so,
well, if it's a sister company, you do. You may not.
Yeah, but I'm saying.
Yeah, but my point is, if you ask for a connection, I mean, here's the question. You love this work and you see a ladder doing this work long term. So it's a function of where else can you do it? And so if you had the choice to stay in your area versus move to Tennessee to the sister company, which one would you take if you had both sitting there right now?
Oh, well, Tennessee is a good job, and they've offered me a job, and it's a good situation. It's just that I don't know. I don't have friends. We don't have church there. I don't have family.
That's why I asked you the question. So let me ask you. There's a reason why I do this. If you had the same job that is in Tennessee waiting for you in Dallas, where you live, or the Dallas area, you had both, which one would you take?
Tennessee. I mean, it's just,
You would still take Tennessee, even though you'd have all your friends and family where you are.
Oh, you're saying a good job in Dallas too? Sorry.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah, I would take Dallas if I had a good job here.
Okay, and the reason I'm asking that question is because I want you to look for a similar job to what you're doing now. Can you find a similar job in a much better environment, better leadership in the Dallas area? Let's exhaust that. Let's do it quickly.
Yeah. So as far as I've been able to find, everything is a steep pay cut, and it's kind of a situation of most people don't want to work here, and so they're understaffed. And since I'm commissioned, if they're understaffed, that means I can just work on trucks all day. Like there's a surplus. And pretty much everywhere around here would be a steep pay cut because the people want to work there. And so it's hard. I don't have six trucks I can work on at the same time.
Okay. So it sounds like we're heading to Tennessee. Sounds what it sounds like to me. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, there's kind of another factor in that I've always wanted to start my own business, and it's actually in baking, in the food industry. And I'm just not sure whether I should move and, do the job in Tennessee and then build that other company there, or if I should just kind of grin and bear it here and be able to work quickly.
Do you want to own your own baking business, and that's the long-term goal?
Yes, that's the long-term.
Okay, then if I'm you, and I'm going to answer this as though I were you, okay?
Uh-huh.
You've got your professional long-term goals, and you got your relationship long-term goals. That's as simple as life can get. It's very simple.
Yeah.
Well, what's my mountaintop professionally? And that's you owning your own baking business. Okay. Your relationship mountaintop, you have to define that. You and your wife have got to get an agreement on that. And so if we prefer to stay in the Dallas, Texas area, if that's what we determine, that we want to stay in this area to be close to friends and family and our church and all these things, well, then I'm going to stay where I am, because first of all, you're not going to get arrested. You are not going to get penalized. Okay. If this manager is requiring work that's not done, I mean, at the end of the day, you're not in any way culpable for that. Okay. And so if you got to stick that out for a little bit while longer, or, find something that maybe is pays you a little bit less, but you can pick up some side work doing the same kind of mechanical work and equal what you're doing. You got a couple options there. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. But we're going to do what we have to do so we can do what we want to do. And so you got to have some stability as a mechanic so that you could start the baking business on the side. That baking business, that's a math equation. The day that comes that the baking business can pay you what you're making now is the day that we go full time. But until then, we're stacking up cash, building up a pipeline of customers. And I wouldn't leave until you had at least 6 months of your income in the baking bank account. Okay. And I think that's the progression for you. So, the owners are the owners. I think there's a good possibility that because the owners like you and you've taken the issue up to owners, a guy who's dishonest always hangs himself. I just promise you that. I know you may not believe that, and the people in your shop may not believe that, but a guy who's dishonest is eventually going to get caught. Somebody, some customer, is going to figure it out. And when the customer comes in all hacked off, then the owners are going to, then they're paying attention. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're a smart guy. If you can't be there in good conscience, then you need to find another way to make the money that you need to make. That's the bottom line. But I don't think you have to rush out of there, is my point. I would stay there in this current shop until you replace that job or this guy, like I said, hangs himself, because that's what's going to happen. I'm just telling you. It's you agree with me? It's going to catch up to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will.
We've had a lot of the customers where they come back and the complaints come back and the techs know what happened. It's like everybody knows what happened.
Exactly. But here's the deal. It's poor leadership. Your owners need to do the right thing. Thank you for the call, Cody. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.